Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and today we're doing the fifth chapter of the book of Song of Solomons, and also the fifth chapter of Amos. Right now, let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to bless this service. Holy, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life, for the Holy Spirit, for your word. Because your word, when it's read and explained, is supposed to bring faith. And it does build faith in people, but some people are rebellious after they receive the faith because they don't like the things that you say. They don't like giving honor to those that labor in the word, and they don't like people that have given power over them. And some people just remain selfish and greedy, self-willed, self-centered. But Lord, we pray that all these things will go away because we know that love is the keeping of God's commandments, of your commandments. And when they hear what the commandments are, it seems as though they want to walk around and hate many people. So, Lord, we pray that you'll awaken their heart in them, awaken their spirit, awaken the mind, to receive the things of the Word of God so that they can be obedient to it, so that they don't have to go to hell in the lake of fire. Lord God, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's start.
Song of Solomon, chapter 5, King James. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse.
Okay, now this is, she just consummated the marriage in chapter 4 at the end of it. And now he is saying that he has consummated the marriage. So he said he's come into the garden. Now the garden was always enclosed, and it was her garden, but now it's King Solomon's garden. The temple that we have, this body of ours, is just our temple. But then when we ask Christ to come into us and be our King, our Lord, and that we say, if he's our Lord, then that means we're going to obey what he says. Amen?
Amen.
And so then it becomes his temple. Amen?
Amen.
So he comes into us. It's like a Garden of Eden to him because he then loves us. And he loved us so much that he died for us. And then when he sees that we receive that love and that we want to love him too, then he enters into us. And then we say, this is your temple now, Lord. We can't do what we want to do anymore because we only want to do what you want us to do. And we don't want to live a life of selfishness, self-will, self-centered, only for us type life anymore. We want to do what you say, and that means that we have to prefer others before ourselves. But that's such a hard thing for people to do. Everything is I want this, me wants that. And that has to leave because the self-centered person cannot serve the Lord. They don't represent him. And everybody, we're supposed to be a witness for everybody in the world. That includes the people around us. And if you're not a witness for the people that are living around you, how can you be a witness for people outside of the house or outside of the church? So we have to be a witness to the people that are in the congregation. Otherwise, we're not individual churches of the Lord. We are the temple of God, the church of God. And again, in the book of Acts, it says that the church was scattered. That means the people, the whole of the church, they gelled together. It's like one major church. It's one body controlled by one spirit. So when you see a person that's self-centered, that's not the spirit of the Lord. That's the spirit of the devil. And they just get hurt when they're deprived of anything because it's all their self. They live for self. They wouldn't lift a finger to do anything. Some of you wives have husbands like that, and some of you husbands have wives like that. They just won't help you, but they put on a face before the brothers and sisters that they will do anything for them, but they won't do anything for their husbands, and the husbands won't do anything for their wives. And so that's really a bad situation. It's some woman or man that's trying to impress people rather than God. Because God said the union between husband and his wife is the closest in the entire universe, because it's the same as it is with Christ in the church, in each individual church. And these churches are supposed to go out, if they're scattered, wherever they are, be instant in and out of season, and be ministers of the gospel. Not just by talking, but by the walk they walk. They're to carry themselves as Christ carried himself. And if you can't even do it in your own house, how shall you do it in the church? And if you don't do it in the church, how will you do it in the community? And for sure, if you don't do it in the community, you're not going to do it in the world. And I like to know that the Lord told me to tell everybody in the world, and I have a world ministry, and so if you want to be part of this ministry, you have to abandon yourself and cleave unto the Lord and be his instead of, and we know that you belong to him when you're doing the things that the Lord says to do, and that means caring for others before yourself. That's hard. It's a hard saying for anybody that's so selfish as some people that I know, but I'm never going to believe that you're a Christian until I see that, because charity is the number one thing. Here on earth, it's faith. And if you have faith, then you're going to be a charitable person. And if you don't have faith, you're not going to have love, charity. You're not going to keep God's commandments. You're not going to prefer others before yourself. And this is one of the two big commandments: to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and prefer others before yourself. The whole law of God hangs on those two. And if you don't do that, you're not of the Lord. Or else you are of the Lord, but you're not mature yet. You haven't arrived. And that's why the Lord is not blessing you. That's why there are no signs in you that follow those who believe. Okay, so go ahead.
I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten.
So now he's in the garden now, and he's gathered his myrrh with his spice. He's consumed his wife, his bride. Just as the Lord has entered into the garden, he's come into his where he wanted to be. He died. He loved us so much that he died for us, and now we have accepted him, his ways, his word, his directions of how we're to conduct our lives. We've let him come in, and it's now a sweet-smelling thing. It's like perfume to him, to have someone that loves him so much that they'll let him live out his life in them, and that they'll let him represent himself in them instead of yourself. You rotten individual that would not let the Lord live out his life in you. You're like the worst scum or slum that ever lived. Okay, then what?
I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey.
So I'm eating, I'm eating, we're supping, it's dining together. I'll come into you and we'll dine, amen?
Amen.
So I'm eating my honeycomb with my honey. I'm enjoying myself with you, with her, and she with me. Because she enjoys the things I tell her to do, and she scurries quickly to do whatever I tell her. She isn't like stubborn and obstinate like a prostitute that just wants to serve herself or to serve her little buddies, her little clique, to make food for yourselves and your little girlfriends, but to make food for everyone in the house and make sure that there's plenty of everything for everybody, not just self, but other people, for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
I have drunk my wine with my milk.
Yes, I've brought my wine into the place with the babe Christian, and I'm letting her drink the milk too. Amen?
Amen.
Milk of the Word. But I'm pouring it into her with the wine by the Spirit. The wine is also symbolic of the Spirit. Okay, then what?
Eat
and the milk is also symbolic of the Spirit, the Word, the milk of the Word. the first things that come first in the Word. Okay, then what?
Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved.
Okay, now that is the... Okay, go ahead.
Commentary, verse 1. Solomon.
Solomon, or representing the Lord here. Okay, go ahead.
I am here in my garden, my treasure, my bride, exclamation.
I'm in my bride, okay? We've consummated the marriage. I'm in her. My spirit has entered into you. Okay? Now, if you're my bride, don't be a self-centered pig. You're going to do what I tell you to do, and I tell you to prefer others before your rotten self, okay? Or else I'm going to depart from you, and you're not even going to know it. You're so selfish. And you're not even going to care. Okay, then what?
I gather my myrrh with my spices.
Got the sweet myrrh with my spices. I gathered it. I gathered in my honey, my sweetheart, the one who says, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. Then what?
And eat my honeycomb with my honey. I drink my wine with my milk.
I drink my wine with the newborn babe that I just entered into, my bride. Then what?
Young women of Jerusalem.
Now this is the young women of Jerusalem answering her, or him. Then what?
Shulamite.
The young woman, the young virgin, the Shulamite talking now. Now she's not a virgin anymore. She's married. You're not a sinner anymore. You're now saved. Okay? Because I don't want people to be thinking that this is sensual, or to be taken in a sensual way. Even though you're supposed to love your wife as much as that, and the wife is supposed to love her husband as much as the Shulamite loved Solomon. But you're supposed to love the Lord like that. It's not sensual. It's like a symbolic, because he talks to us in terms that we know so that we can understand the spiritual thing. All right? It's symbolic of the bride and the Lord and his bride. Okay, go ahead.
O lover and beloved, eat.
Yeah. Okay, so all the virgins of Israel happen to be all the rest of the body of Christ. And they're saying, O beloved, yes, I love it that you won a soul, that another soul came unto you. And so all the virgins are not jealous because the Lord took on another bride here. Because if you look at it, the Lord happens to be a polygamist, but it's not really polygamy because it's all one body. Amen?
Amen.
But now here are all the virgins of Israel saying what?
O lover and beloved.
Because he's their lover too. Amen?
Amen.
He's a lover to everyone that wants to be his lover. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now these are the virgins of Israel, the rest of the body of Christ. Okay, read it again.
O lover and beloved, eat and drink, exclamation.
Yeah, eat and drink. It's good. You went into the garden and you're doing this and you're doing all these things with her. And we love it that you love her. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're not for self. We like it when there's more people that love you. Okay? We're not opposed to that. All right? That's what it's saying. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Yes.
And how many people know these things? Even people that have been in this ministry, they don't know it. Then what?
Yes, drink deeply of this love, exclamation.
Yeah, we love to see you loving this bride that you love so much. Amen?
Amen.
Every member of her, of your body. We love it when people love you, Lord. We're a minority in this world. We're like lambs amongst sheep among the wolves. And so the more that we see join our minority, the more we love it. Because there's power in numbers. Amen?
Amen.
And we need help. We're always not sufficient in the amount of people that are needed to support the ministry by the Lord living in them. Okay, then what?
In King James verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh.
It says, I'm sleeping, but my spirit is awake. I've been awakened. I've been born again. I'm alive now. So even when I sleep, I'm still alive. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It is the voice of my beloved that
read the line before it again.
I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled.
Doesn't the Lord say he knocks on the door of your heart,
yes,
of your spirit, and wants to come in? Same thing, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. Commentary verse 2, the young Shulamite. One night as I was sleeping, my heart awakened in a dream. I heard the voice of my lover. He was knocking at my bedroom door. I heard him say, open to me, my darling, my treasure, my lovely dove, he said, for I have been out in the night. My head is soaked with dew, my hair with the waters of the night. King James verse 3. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them?
Go ahead.
Commentary verse 3. But I said, I have taken off my robe, should I get dressed again? I have washed my feet, should I get them soiled?
Okay, I've been cleansed. I've taken off my former life. I have washed my feet. I'm not doing the things that I did before. I was all for self before, but I'm not for self anymore. I'm for others that are I prefer more than myself. I'm for the keeping the commandments of the Lord. Shall I go back and get my feet dirty again by being just for self? Should I go and put my robe back on rather than the robe of righteousness? Because that's what a lot of people still do. I see in the Christian church, and churches all over the world, they're walking with dirty feet, and they're put back on their old garments, and the Lord doesn't love them anymore. And then people will say today, well, the Bible says that he'll never leave or forsake us. Right, he won't if we are beloved to him and we do everything he says. But you leave and forsake him, and he's not going to like that. You say, but God is just a God of love. But the Lord says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So he's not just a God of love. He loves those that love him and keep his commandments. But some people like to dirty their feet. They think that the Lord is a joke, and they're not. But folks, you that do such things, you're the joke. The only thing is that it's a bad joke. You're not funny. And he doesn't think so either. And so you're putting on your own garments and walking with your filthy feet, going any direction that your flesh wants you to go or the devil wants you to go. Selfish. Swine. Dogs that go back to drinking their own puke. Okay, go ahead.
King James verse 4. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Commentary. My lover tried to unlatch the door, and my heart thrilled within me. I jumped up to open it. My hands dripped with perfume, my fingers with lovely myrrh, as I pulled back the bolt.
And that's the scent of her love. The hand, myrrh, perfume, fingers of myrrh. This is all the Lord. The word of the Lord is sweet and pure and clean and to be obeyed. All right, then what?
King James verse 6. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Commentary verse 6. I opened to my lover, but he was gone. I yearned for even his voice! Exclamation. I reached for him, but I couldn't find him anywhere. I called to him, but there was no reply.
This is where people pray, and sometimes they never, they don't seem to be getting an answer, but that doesn't make a person that's really of the Lord stop praying. They just keep seeking and seeking until they find him, until he shows up. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord wants to find out how much you really love him and want to talk to him, and how badly you want to hear from him. And you know, if you're loaded with all kinds of benefits, you're eating whatever you want, and you're sleeping on expensive beds, and you're like living in nice homes and driving nice cars and all these things, you feel that you don't need the Lord anymore. And so therefore there's never any real major need to seek him, to try to get a hold of him, because you think that all of your needs are taken care of. And then sometimes the Lord puts something terrible in your path to where you have to get to praying to him. So it's, if you don't feel that there's any need in the world, if you cared about your others before yourself, you'd see the starving people in the world, you'd see people with all the different diseases, you'd see the people that don't know the Lord, that don't know the word of the Lord, and you'd start praying for them. Because if you really have the fear of the Lord to do what he says, because you know if you don't do it, you'll be a castaway. But because he loves you, if you really are concerned about others, rather than just yourself or the immediate people that you see. I mean, he wants us, he's a worldwide God. He's a God that is master over the entire universe, and he wants people that have a wider vision instead of just like tunnel vision of themselves in a mirror, or them and their little children only, and their little church only, and so on. We have to be concerned about everybody in the world. And there's a lot of things that are happening in this world that are very bad. People's children are being taken away from them, and they're made wards of the state. And they're attacking churches, just as the 7th chapter and the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel tells us they would be doing, that he'd be making war with God and the saints, and that they would even overpower them. And if you're not concerned about that, your vision is not wide. You've got like tunnel vision. You've got glaucoma, spiritual glaucoma. Now, I have regular glaucoma of the body, but I don't have that problem spiritually. And it's very nauseating to see somebody that's got spiritual glaucoma, tunnel vision, where they only can see themselves and the immediate people in front of them. But there's a vast amount of people that are suffering, and people that are dying by the thousands every day, and they're going into a Christless grave. They're going into hell in the lake of fire. And you don't care anything about that. All you're worried about is your belly. You're not even worried about the people that are serving the Lord. And all you're doing is ministering to your own belly and your own self. What can I have? What can I do? What do I want? And you love to bring down the house of God by saying things that are so foolish. It's unbelievable. And so if you have all the different things that you think that you don't need God anymore, and that you don't look around to see others and are concerned about them, then God is going to do something to you. Trust me on this one. He says that he will. We're going to read some scriptures in that regard.
King James, verse 7. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me.
Right. This is like any Christian that's seeking the Lord and is doing it openly. You're going to get persecution from people. Amen?
Amen.
Because the people just, what we're doing is fighting a war against darkness. We're the children of light, and we're fighting a war against darkness to bring the gospel of the Lord to the Lord. We're going to bring the people of the world to the Lord, okay? And people that are totally possessed with the devil, that are the children of darkness, don't like that. And so they're going to do everything they can to stop you, but you should never be discouraged, because you owe allegiance, total allegiance to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And no matter what happens to you, you have to keep going. All right? If you're afraid of persecution, then you're one of the fearful and unbelieving, and you're going to wind up in hell, in the lake of fire. You just got to serve the Lord. All right? Then what?
Commentary, verse 7. The watchmen found me as I was making my rounds. They struck me and wounded me. The watchmen on the wall tore off my veil.
they interrogated the person to the extent, the Shulamite, the body of Christ, to the point to where they tore off the veil. They knew that that person was of the Lord. Okay, there was no, the Bible tells us that the kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation because it's inside of human bodies. And it's the same thing, the kingdom of darkness. We can't tell until they start doing evil things that they're of the devil or not. So we can tell the people of the Lord because they prefer others before themselves. That's easy to see a person that's of the Lord. And a person that is not of the Lord, they're children of darkness, they prefer themselves and themselves only. They're very selfish people. And they always make excuses of why they don't keep the commandments of the Lord, why they didn't do this or why they didn't do that. But the Lord wants obedience, not excuses. Amen?
Amen.
So we can't, just by seeing crowds of people walk down the street, determine whether they're of the Lord or of the devil, because it's hidden. The kingdom of heaven comes without observation, and the kingdom of Satan comes without observation as well. We can't tell until you start seeing their moves. And when you're witnessing sometimes, they don't like the move of you're talking to people about things that they have to do if they want to go to the kingdom of heaven. And they can't do it unless the Lord is in them, because he's the power, the honor, the glory forever and ever. And he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So what kings is he the king of? If he's the King of kings, what kings is he the king of? He has made us kings and princes. Okay? And he's made us lords. So he's the King of kings. He's our king. Then we're those of us that are in charge of his different domains here on earth. And then he's the Lord of us lords that are the lords of different domains of his on this earth. That's why he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, not of secular kings and lords. Those people are like thorns to him. Those are to be burnt. Because his bride is like a lily among thorns. The lily lives forever, but the thorns are burnt and sent continuously throughout eternity. The crackling of thorns. Okay, then what else?
King James, verse 8. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Commentary, verse 8. Make this promise to me, O women of Jerusalem! Exclamation. If you find my beloved one, tell him that I am sick with love.
Right. Just tell him the church. Tell the Lord, you know, I'm trying to get a hold of him, but I can't, but tell him I love him, okay? And I'm still seeking him, and he knows that. But I want the Lord to know that I love him from every angle. And I'm not ashamed of my love for him, because I know was not ashamed of hanging on a cross naked for me and getting beat to pieces. And if you're ashamed of him in this wicked and untoward generation, that he'll be ashamed of you before his Father and the holy angels on the last day. If you're ashamed to stand up for him in front of your little clique or the people that you come in contact with throughout your life, well, then he'll be ashamed of you. And that means you will not enter heaven. Okay, then what?
King James, verse 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved?
You know, what makes him different than other man? Well, why is Solomon so great? Or in reality, it's saying, why is the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, so great? Go ahead.
What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women?
Yeah, why is he so wonderful to you, O church? What's so good about him? Then what?
What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us?
That you give us these instructions, these orders. Then what?
Commentary, Young Virgins of Jerusalem.
Yeah, the body of Christ, the rest of the body of Christ. Then what?
Verse 9, O woman of rare beauty, what is it about your loved one that brings you to tell us this? Verse 10, King James, my beloved is white and ruddy.
Notice the black people that say that God is black and that Jesus is black. But all the versions of the Bible say that he's white. Amen?
Amen.
and ruddy. In other words, he's got like olive skin. He's Jewish. Okay, God is a Jew. Not a Negro, not a black, not a Chinaman, not a woman, not a Mexican or a Puerto Rican, not a Norwegian. He's Jewish, all right? And there's not, he's the greatest Jew of all time. And there's a lot of great Jews. All the prophets and the apostles were great Jews. And the kings were pretty great. They're all Jews, all right? But the Lord was the greatest of all Jews. He's the greatest Jew ever. And God is a Jew. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. And you better receive the Lord as he is. But, you know, you can become a spiritual Jew if you accept him. If you don't, I mean, if you accept him all the way, that means do what he says. Otherwise, you're not a Jew. A Jew is the one that believes God and keeps his commandments. Okay, then what?
My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000.
I mean, he's better than 10,000 men. 10,000 other men. Amen?
Amen.
Better than 10,000 other men. He's better than all the men in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's what's different about him. So then what?
His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Okay, now read it from the top over here, where it started out.
Okay. Commentary, Young Shulamite. My lover is dark and dazzling, better than 10,000 others. His head is as the finest gold, and his hair is wavy and black. His eyes are like doves beside brooks of water. They are set like jewels. His cheeks are like sweetly scented beds of spices. His lips are like perfumed lilies. His breath is like myrrh.
Yeah, that's something, you know, some people have such bad breath. That isn't godly. Amen?
Amen.
It's such a bad body odor. You know, it's horrible. And they don't think anything about it. But, you know, if you want your sweetheart to love you, well then, you know, brush your teeth. All right? Then what else?
His arms are like round bars of gold set with chrysolite. His body is like bright ivory and aglow with sapphires.
See, now ivory is different than black. Amen?
Amen.
Ivory is white. Okay, so, you know, while I was in prison for the gospel, I had guards come and tell me that, black guards tell me that God is black, and I told them, no, he's not. And I read many scriptures in that regard, and here's a couple more that you can tell these black people that think that everything is black. God doesn't say, God says righteousness is white, okay?
Amen.
And I'm not saying this, and so the opposite is that evil is black. Now, people that are black can get saved, amen?
Amen.
And just like beige people and yellow and red, we all become one in Christ Jesus. And we all have one blood, but we still have to be faithful, amen?
Amen.
So I just don't want people turning the Bible around to where God is black, when the Bible is very plain that he's a Jew. And the blacks, some of these really rebellious blacks say that Jews are black. No, I've lived in Israel, and they're not black. They're olive-colored, just like my skin, all right? And my dad was the same way. Okay, so Jews are olive skin, ivory, okay? Oh, white. They're white. We're white people, okay? Now, I'm a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, and I'm proud of it, all right? White is beautiful, all right? God is beautiful, amen?
Amen.
When people say, you know, you're not dark enough or something, well, I just say, praise the Lord, I'm a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, a WASP. And I'm proud of being white. Just like if you're black, be proud of it. But don't be making up a new Bible for me, because I'm not going to receive it, okay? Then what else?
His legs are like pillars of marble set in sockets of the finest gold, strong as the cedars of Lebanon. None can rival him.
None can rival the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You just might as well not even compare, but you've got to be like him. Amen?
Amen.
And the more you're like him, the more you're like him. That's all there is to it. And the more you're not like him, you're like a filthy dog. Your feet are dirty. Your garments are dirty. Your soul is dirty. Your spirit is dirty. Your mind is dirty. Okay, then what?
His mouth is altogether sweet. He is lovely every way. Such, O virgin women of Jerusalem, is my lover, my friend.
Okay.
That's the end of that chapter.
Okay, now we're going to Amos, the fifth chapter. I just picked that because the Lord is telling how much he loves the virgin of Jerusalem, and that we're the new Jerusalem, and he loves us. The Jews are not necessarily Jews. Not every Jew is a Jew. Because if they don't believe in God, if they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not a Jew. That's just as simple as it gets. And as we're reading through the Bible, there'll be many scriptures that will prove that out. But this is a chapter here that talks about how God will destroy the virgin of Israel for disobedience. Okay, go ahead.
Amos chapter 5. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. Commentary. Listen, you people of Israel. Listen to this funeral song I am singing.
I'm singing a funeral song for you. Okay, then what?
King James verse 2. The virgin of Israel is fallen.
Ah, the virgin of Israel, the born-again Christian, is fallen. Well, wait a minute. Are all these people today saying that the virgin, do you know, once saved, always saved? That's why the Bible says there's a big falling away, and they become antichrist. Amen?
Amen.
So believe the Bible and not these phony prophets, all right? The whole Bible is full of born-again Christians falling away from the Lord, like Judas, who was out healing people and raising people from the dead and casting demons out of them and all the other things that the Lord commands us to do. And so the angels in heaven were saved once. They were in heaven, and God cast them out because they fell away. They were once saved. But are they always saved? Huh?
No.
Of course not. You're having to deny God's word. That means you're denying God. And anyone that denies God, he'll deny you. Now, God says that virgins fall away. A virgin is one that never transgresses the Lord. Okay, now go ahead.
The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise.
She's never going to rise out of falling away. She's doomed. Okay? Go ahead.
She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up.
No one but the Lord can raise you up. If you don't come back to the Lord after living a life of sin and then being forgiven, then falling away, going back into a life of sin, if you never come back again. And some people can never come back because they've sinned too much. And they just don't want to carry a cross. They can't deny themselves. They're just too self-willed. They can't deprive themselves of anything. Well, then you'll never come back. But the Lord says, come back or you'll be dead. Okay, then what else?
Commentary verse 2. The virgin Israel has fallen, never to rise again! Exclamation. She lies forsaken on the ground with none to raise her up. King James verse 3. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. Commentary. The sovereign Lord says, when one of your cities sends 1,000 men to battle, only 100 will return.
So 900 out of 1,000 be killed, all right? That's what that means. Then what?
When a town sends 100, only 10 will come back alive.
90 get killed, and only 10 come back alive. That's what he's going to do to the Virgin of Israel. So he said, well, he'll never kill us because you received that Baptist doctrine, once saved, always saved. That's unfortunate for you, that you think that you can just live your miserable, wretched, ugly-looking life that doesn't please anybody, and that you're going to be saved. How sick you are. Then what?
King James, verse 4, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Commentary, verse 4, now this is what the Lord says to the family of Israel, come back to me and live! Exclamation. King James, verse 5, but seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Commentary, verse 5, don't go to worship the idols of Bethel, Gilgal, or Beersheba, for the people of Gilgal will be dragged off into exile, and the people of Bethel will come to nothing.
Yeah, you just, nothing. Then what?
King James, verse 6, seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel.
Right there he tells you that he'll break out in the house of the Lord, of Joseph, amen, and destroy it, burn it. Then what?
Commentary, verse 6, come back to the Lord and live! Exclamation. If you don't, he will roar through Israel, even spiritual Israel, like a fire, devouring you completely. Your gods in Bethel certainly won't be able to quench the flames! Exclamation.
Okay, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. That was Amos 5, and before that, that was the 5th chapter of the Song of Solomon, and we'll be doing the 6th chapter later on tonight, Lord willing, and God bless you till then.